We've been talking about what we believe, and we believe in the Word. We believe in redemption. We believe in the Trinity, and I hope y'all been learning something, getting something out of it. And tonight we're gonna be talking about salvation. John 3. I set myself in agreement with the prayers that's done been for Jesus' name. John 3. Salvation. That's what we're going to talk about. What we believe, the salvation of man. That's what we're going to be talking about. It's kind of extensive, so I'll break it down. Tonight we'll be dealing with a lot to do with the conditions of salvation. Because many people think there are no conditions to salvation. And herein lies the problem. There lies the problem. That they don't believe there's any conditions. And it's always interesting to visit funerals. Everybody go to heaven. They was in the bed with some other man's wife, go to heaven. Got shot in a drive-by. While they were shooting somebody, they went to heaven. Nobody goes to hell in church funerals. Not that we've been there. I hope you ain't been there. But there's things that lead up to people receiving salvation. And it's just always interesting. I think people do it to make the family feel better. I mean, it doesn't really change the fact that if that person has never accepted Jesus as Lord, they're in hell, probably. Probably. And that's so much like these little trolls giving people 100,000 ways to get to heaven. How many is it? Okay, you read your Bible sometime. There's only one way. It's 6,000 plus religions in America. 6,000 plus. The math says that means that 5,999 could potentially be wrong, because how many ways is there to heaven? Now, people do have the right to believe. They can believe whatever they believe. However, they never going to change what I believe. Never. And you need to be able to talk from the standpoint of the Bible, at least when people start calling you simple-minded and arrogant and a bigot, to think that your way is the only way. Say, my way is the Bible way. When they start saying that you think you more than somebody else, and you arrogant, say, and saved. And saved. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John 3. And Jesus says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus at night. People always make a big deal about some of the dumbest stuff. What difference does it make a difference if he come at night or the daytime? It don't make no difference. He came. Right? He came. And many people aren't. Do you know the difference about being in the dark and coming to the light, which is Jesus? You came to the light. You know, the contrast is of sitting in the light, where the sitting in a church where the light is being proclaimed and you never come to Jesus, that still makes you lost. I would come to the light. So he says, the claim came to Jesus by night. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God. For no one can do these miracles. So why he really come to Jesus? He really, initially, he didn't come to get saved. He's a teacher himself. He's a Pharisee. He's learned. Hey, I hope y'all pay attention, because this may minister to some of us. That he is a teacher. He has people under him, prophet as they've been. He's teaching people about the God that he don't even know. What? He's teaching people about a God, the God, that he doesn't even know himself. And the truth of it is, he comes to Jesus not to get born again. He comes because I have tip meetings just like you. I teach people just like you. I ain't never had miracles happening in my services. Yeah, because God's spirit ain't there. He just wanted to do miracles. And a lot of that is going on in the church now. All people want is power. That's all they want. They want to be to slay somebody. If you knock me out, you better know it's God. Because I will not give you a courtesy fall. You know what a courtesy fall is, right? They lay their hands on and you, ooh. So you don't give nobody a courtesy fall, because they really believe, because they really believe that they got power. Just stand there. Just stand right there. I seen somebody go off on a woman one time, talking about, why you come up here if you weren't going to receive? How you know she didn't receive? Because she didn't fall out. His ego just got hurt. His ego just got hurt. Don't about think about your ego. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the man, because, man, I love Jesus. Because, and I love Jesus. A couple of saved people do. I love Jesus. Oh, we all got saved instantly. But because you could come to Jesus, I try to do this. This is where discernment comes in. You let a person talk, the Holy Spirit tell you what the real issue is, and you don't even respond to what they said, because what they said was smoke screen and mirrors. And Jesus said, hey, your problem is you don't ain't about no power. He said, Nicodemus, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, your real problem is you not born again. Hearing comes after. Seeing comes after. Power comes after. Being led comes after. But his problem was, what was Nicodemus' problem? He wasn't born again. But the thing about salvation is, it's a freely offered eternal gift for everybody. Is that right? Comes through the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the only way, according to that, as you read on down. He is the only way to be born again. Jesus is the only way to be born again. You really can't even access God the Father without going through the Son. That's why you always make sure you know what a person talking about when they say God. Because there's all kind of gods in the earth. So who are you talking about? Because you got to go through the Son, God the Son, to get to the Father. You don't have no direct link to God without Jesus. So when people are flashing the God badge, that don't mean nothing. Right? It does mean something if you have the Son and you have the Holy Spirit. But apart from that, it's just somebody talking. Say Jesus is the only way. Now, this word salvation, is the Greek word is S-O-T-E-R-I-A. S-O-T-E-R-I-A. It means deliverance. It means deliverance. He's delivering us out, delivering out of darkness into light. The Son, the Holy Spirit. It's translated. And, you know, the truth of it is, this is why, watch this. You would rather see the manifested power of God work like this, because a lot of time people don't really realize that if they've seen a person get born again, they've witnessed a miracle. So you ask most people, have you seen a miracle? They say no. That means that they're in a church where nobody got born again, because the greatest miracle that has ever been done is snatching a man out of hell and putting him into the place where he has eternal life with God. And I'd rather see that kind of miracle than any other kind of miracle. Because you can live in this life maimed but saved and still go to heaven. And a person can literally heal you and you be not born again and you die and you still go to hell. The greatest miracle that you see in a church is a person getting born again. And I'd rather see people getting born again at Groves than arms popping out or legs growing out. I'd rather see people getting born again above that. Any other miracle that you can think of in the Bible, say salvation is the best one. Because then when they die, they go to heaven. They get their glorified body. They ain't got no pain. They blind, they see. They deaf, they hear. They lame, they ain't maimed no more. Say salvation take care of all their problems. So what's some of the conditions for salvation? You got to have faith to believe in Jesus, and you have it. What is the measure of faith for? Every man God has given the measure of faith. What is the measure of faith for? It's really to get born again with. Initially, it's for people to get born again. Right? Because now, and faith can grow. It can expand into other areas of life. But it starts with a person getting born again. So, you know, and you can use it for various things. You can use it and you can develop it. Watch this. It's in some cases independent of God and work stuff in the world and still be on your way to hell. But it's really there to get born again. So the conditions, go to Acts 16 and 31. And then I'm going to go to John 1. What are some of the conditions? So the scriptures emphasize a few things. And the first thing is that when you receive Christ in our heart, watch this, by believing in his name, and then you have to believe in the resurrection. Right? You have to believe in Christ and in his name. Right? And you have to believe in the resurrection. So in Acts 16, 13, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There you go. And thou shalt be saved. And do you know when you really get saved, the first thing you should try to do is that you shouldn't look for an external ministry. If you got a family, you should try to get your own house saved first. Amen, oh my. Because what we get taught, the first thing is we want to go out there and save the world. And you could be living with heathens. So the first person that you really want to try to start working this on ain't your neighbor's wife. It's your wife or your husband or your children. Grease everybody else's up and preach to theirs, and ours could be running around like some wild banshees. Say, start at your house first. Now, the reason why you want to do that, because you can test drive on them. Who mama ever woke them up in the middle of the night or morning and praying over them? You know, because you can practice on your house. You know, if they don't get it one night, they still got to live with you. You can do it every night till they yield to the Holy Ghost. Just do it every, no, don't do it every night, but every other night. But you can keep practicing on them. So you got a whole house you could practice on, and we'd be worried about trying to get the whole world. I know I'm not going to get no amens because that's how we've been taught. We start looking for a ministry outside of our house, and we got a whole house with five people in there. Say, start in your own house. This is why people be trying to climb up in caskets. Some of it is because they done so much stupidness to people, and they never repented, and now they did. And the other one is because deep in people's heart, if you got the Holy Spirit, you love them, but in your heart, it never bore witness with you that they ever got born again. So you're trying to jump up in there and you're sorry now, but you had them for 35 years. You had them for 45 years. You had them for 70 years. You had them for 85 years, because sometimes the child gets saved after the parent and you're still responsible for ministering to them. So we want to, you know, don't look at nobody. Say, don't jump in the casket. Say, do the work before then. Because ain't no work to do at that point. It's all settled. There's nothing you can say. You know, people pray over people and they bless them. You know, they pray all these fancy prayers. That person ain't been there since last week. And they ain't in the graveyard. We keep going back to the graveyard. Clean the plot off. Put some fresh flowers out there. Your mama not there? If she born again, where she at? She in the bosom of Jesus. She rested. But she ain't there. Ooh-wee. Your daddy not there. And so what we be doing is that, because you got to get out of that play of thinking, and this is what torments, I have no idea where I'm going to, this is what torments people, because we think they in some cold, dark ground to be absent from the body. They absent from the body if they born again and they saved, it's to automatically be present with the Lord. So you ain't got to have a meltdown every time you go there because they ain't even there. Go to John 1. So Jesus Christ has to come into your heart. You have to believe and you have to receive him. You have to believe in him. Now, I'm going to stay right here if I can, if the Lord say the same, because what I've experienced is in the body of Christ, say right now, R-A-T now, right now, is that there's a lot of people in church that believe in him. And they are like Nicodemus, and they are serving, but they've never really received Jesus. Is it possible to believe and receive? The devil believe in him. This is why you have to be careful with these people who born into church, and they just raised in church their whole life. You don't get no pass because your daddy is an apostle. You don't get no pass. Your kids don't get no pass. You know, once they get to a certain age, they don't get no pass because you saved. Do you know what I've seen? Do you know what I've seen, sis? God let people escape some of the dumbest, most vile sins. He let them escape. He showed them mercy. Maybe they didn't know no better. Maybe their parents didn't know no better. Maybe their grandparents didn't know no better. Maybe they did, and God still showed them mercy, right? And he saves them. Should have been dead. When you hear some people say, I could have been dead and I should have been dead, you should believe them. The stuff that they did, the wages of sin is death. We done so much, some of us should have been dead. For real. Whatever reason, God save them. Say, come on, Jesus. I'm glad I got saved. I was one of them heathens. But for whatever reason, God saved them. Then they have kids. Your kids are an extension of you. And then they see the same vile demons on that child. And rather than trying to get them saved and delivered, what they do is try, watch this. They teach them how to navigate the sin without immediate consequences. In essence, this is how you get around this. This is how you beat this. This is how you don't have a baby. This is how you don't get an STD. They don't teach them how to be celibate. They don't teach them how to be holy and give their heart to the Lord. They say, this is how you navigate that. Clap your hands, because y'all don't pull me into an area that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. But maybe it do. Because God's sick of you. Supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you can't lead them in the path of righteousness with all them tongues. You teach them how to not get caught, because you're not filled with no spirit. Because Holy Ghost people seek God for solutions. Prevention. Come on, Jesus. So John 12, 1 and 12, he says this. He says, because I believe, say we believe, if you're going to get saved for real. If you don't want to be saved, go back to the world. Don't waste your time. Sin and be happy. There's a consequence to it, though. Listen, ain't no sense in playing around with God if that ain't what you want. My wife and I have been married going on 34 years, right? But watch this. Watch this. After 34 years, if she decide that she don't want me, do you know what I'm going to say? Okay. What am I supposed to do? What is God going to do if you don't want him? Because in the relationship, we was talking about, what I do wrong? What I do? Nothing. He just don't want you. Okay. And when we go to court, just remember, we ain't friends. Because I'm going to try to hire Johnny Cochran's son. I'm going to try to get the paint off your toenails. I'm getting everything. Not you, because I know we like hooked. That's just an example. Don't leave me, girl. I know you want to leave me. I'm going to hit it with one of them. I ain't going to get, but I'm going to say, okay, what you want us to do? What God's supposed to do if you don't want him? Go. Mm-hmm. So he says, as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of. If when you receive him, he gives you the power to be born again. When you receive him, because God dealing with some people even as you sit here tonight, as you receive him, he gives you the power to get saved. So that's why no man really comes to the Father unless the Spirit is already leading him. Now, he has a right, or she has a right to reject that. But the minute that the Holy Spirit comes to you for salvation, the power to be saved is there. And you don't have to wait till you come to church. If it's in the bathroom, what should you say? Yes, Lord, here am I. You don't have to wait till you get to no church. If you're in the car, you can be in the club. And God start dealing with you, get saved right there and just say, hey, you know, I got to go. I got to go. Right? You're not going to chill. You're not going to chill. What you going supposed to say? I got to go. Well, I ain't ready to go. I'll catch an Uber. Let me see your debit card. So you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that God rose Jesus from the dead, Romans 10, 8 and 9. You have to confess it. out of your mouth, and then believe in your heart. And then what? And this right here, this is the extension. You not only believe it in Jesus, you have to believe in the resurrection. If we don't believe in the resurrection, we don't really have no hope. Matter of fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, if the resurrection didn't happen, then we believed in vain. He said all our service is in vain. All this preaching, all this church stuff, it's in vain. If the resurrection didn't happen. Because the resurrection promises us things like a glorified body. It promises us to be caught up in the air. Jesus' foot never touched the ground. We just like him. We get lifted up out the ground, off the earth. Say, come on, Jesus. We live eternally, and you're going to live eternally anyway, whether it's heaven or hell. Because do you know what? You know what I believe people think, Deacon Strange? I believe people think that when that trump blows, that God is going to treat people like we've treated each other and our children and husbands and wife. We think that when that happens, that somehow God is going to come back and receive us. He's not going to let. This is the problem that people have with hell, because they think God is being cruel if people go to hell. That why would he do that for eternity? That's no training period. That's no rehabilitation period after that point. That's nothing that happens. He's a cruel God. No, he done gave you all these opportunities to not to go, and that's what you chose. And what people are banking on, a lot of people are banking on, I would say most of the people that ain't even serious about it, they believe that even if they go, God is not going to do this. He's not going to allow this to happen forever. He didn't allow it to happen. Who did it? The individual did. So let's look at Matthew 10. And you have to be able to, the condition for salvation is that you got to know that you're going to endure some hardship. This is a fallen world. This world is controlled. The cosmos, where we get the word cosmopolitan from. The cosmos is controlled by Satan. And he hate God. Are you born again? I say, are you born again? He hates you too. And if you got kids, whether they saved or not, he hate them. Everything that's associated with you, he hated it. Because you're born again. So he gonna try to persecute you. Right? A lot of times, people don't want to go through nothing, so they compromise with everything in the world. As if the devil not going to mess with them. So they don't want to stir nothing up. But he says in 22, verse number 10:22, Matthew 10:22, he says, and you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, mean that you, there is an end, or you can quit in the middle somewhere. But he says, they shall be saved. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. Everybody in the world shouldn't like you. The truth of it is, most of them should not like you. This ain't got nothing to do with you preaching to people and preaching on people and walking around with badges. They there's an aroma on you because you're born again. There's a fragrance that comes from you, from God, that the people know you saved. They should know you saved. They hate you. And guess what? Do you know that people can hate you with a smile on their face? I remember God told me one time, do not trust that smile. It was a big old smile, a big old pretty white smile. And he was like, she hates you. She do not trust that smile. Right? Because if you got it, you can take it to default anytime you want it. Don't mean you should trust a person because they're smiling at you. or being friendly to you. The ultimate thing is that they're doing that because they're trying to get in somehow. You should know this because you're born again. He said you're going to be hated by most of the world, ain't going to like you. Don't look at nobody. Say, why they all love you. That's why he has to give favor sometimes. Because he can turn people in key positions' heart any way he wants to make them favor you. But why they just all over you like that? And you born again. We say, shout, receive, and believe. Go to John. Are we still in John 1? I read it already. But so this single act has to be an ongoing attitude. If it's not an ongoing attitude and you develop it, you're going to backslide quick. And you're not going to change much. It's got to be, and I'm going to explain where I'm getting this from. This word believe is P-I-S-T-E-U-O-U-S-I-N. P-I-S-T-E-U-O-U-S-I-N. And it carries this connotation there, Sister Olivia. It carries this. It describes a continual action. That's why he didn't use the word belief. Believe. But it carries believe in. It's an action. It's a verb. And it indicates the need for this persistent and perseverance to believe. You got to want to keep believing. You have to develop yourself in the area of faith. You have to have this continuous trust in God no matter what. And you know what gets me? The amount of Christians that you see blaming God for bad things that happen in their life, even though we already know that God is good. Do you know what's happened? They have not come to an understanding where they have continuous believing. They got born again and they stopped right there. And that's why you can make big difference. It doesn't matter if a person been saved and in church 20 years in comparison to somebody 20 months. That person, if they are persistent and consistent and developing in the things of God, they can pass a person who's been sitting there 20 years. That's why you don't give people credit for continuous attendance. Those times, I remember one time, I didn't miss a day of school. I didn't miss one day of school because they was giving away pizza. They was taking us to this pizza place. I didn't miss one day of school, you know. I wanted that pizza party so bad. My mom was like, you want to stay home? You ain't got to go school today. You want to stay home with me? I was like, I'm close to getting the pizza party. I got up and I went to school. You understand what I'm saying? But a lot of time people think that they supposed to be promoted in the kingdom because they don't miss services. Say, that ain't how you get in. So faith got to be an activity. Faith in Christ, once you get saved, has to be an activity. So what are you believing God for right now? Don't answer. I'm going to try to show you if your faith is stopped. What he got you working on. Anything God got you working on, it requires faith. If he got you working on it, it requires faith. If it's something that you're doing, it don't really require no faith. You can just do it if you got the gift. But if God got you working on something, it requires some level of faith, active faith. So what God got you working on? Who he got you working on? Even if he got you ministering to a person, trying to win, it requires faith on your part to do everything that he tells you to do to win that person to him. Who he got you working on? What he got you working on? Are you working for yourself? Or are you doing it in your own strength? All this linked to salvation. We're still talking about salvation. But I can show you, I'm trying to show you that if you don't have active faith, man, you are back right out of church. The minute something goes south that you don't like, you'll be out. And I want to say this. I got to put this out there because this just came back to my thinking. For some of you, since about November or maybe the end of October, November, the devil been trying to pluck you. You better watch what you're doing. Since November. And it's almost like a taste for things that you come out of or resurfacing because you're too comfortable. And you ain't using no faith. God ain't, he probably has tried to get you to work on stuff, but you're doing nothing for him. So you don't need no faith. You don't need to depend on him. Look at somebody and say, I plead the blood over you right now if he's talking to you. It'll be a huge mistake for you. You done come a long way. You're going to undo everything in a short amount of time. I'm telling you, it'll be a huge mistake. I can almost call your name, but it'll be a huge mistake for you. I'll just look away, look down. Because this is my own church. It ain't your business. They know I'm talking to them. Matthew 7, it'll be a huge mistake for you. It's done took you years to get to this point. So I'm so glad I'm saved. So I'm going to stay saved. So I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm going to stay saved. You're too old to be trying to start over. Sometimes you just have to have common spiritual sense to know you're too old to be trying to start over. You better keep it more. As you get older, once you get momentum, you don't stop. You just once you get out of bed in the morning, you just keep rolling because you know if you stop, I'm calling in. Matthew 7. Any questions or comments? We're talking about salvation. Jesus said this. Jesus says, enter you in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And watch this. And many there be which go thereat. How many know there's always an abundance of company on the wrong road? Misery love company. And people will bait you into they mess to make sure that they ain't the only one. They know they losing. And they don't want to lose by themselves. And we call these people friends and say we love them. But they be trying to pull you down every chance they get. They be trying to pluck you out of church. I must have an update or something. Or God want us to praise the Lord. Stand up and clap your hand. Maybe he just want us to praise him for a second. Give him a good praise. I don't know what that's about. Come on, give him a good praise. Amen. Sit down. But they be trying to pull you down, man. What's the problem with the broad road? Jesus said leads to destruction, right? And this is the law of the kingdom. This is a law. People on the wrong road, they will not see the kingdom of God. They will be eternally lost. And so the narrow road requires this. It requires the Holy Spirit. And this is why people don't want the narrow road, because you have to revolutionize your life. Things that you used to do, you can't do them no more. Hey, lift your hand if this was you at some point in your life, not now, but a long time ago, that there were things that I'll be the first one to admit, as I make this statement, it was me. That was things that I really didn't want to give up. That's why I didn't want to live saved. See? That'd be things you want. Or, you know, God forbid it's a relationship, a horrible relationship that you got to get out of. And you'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, so we try to ignore God, but how many know you can't ignore God? So when the Holy Spirit, when you're on the narrow road, you got to change your life. You got to change your purposes. I never thought I was going to be in no military, let alone retire from the military. I had other plans, right? And watch this, Sister Sanders, and tried to get out multiple times. You know, brother, multiple times I was trying to get out, and God wouldn't let me out. One time they were shortening all the MOSs, or twice in my time. But one particular time, they was my particular MOS, they was chopping it because they was combining it with another MOS. So they didn't need all of it. They didn't need everybody. They was giving people an opportunity to get out the military. People put their paperwork in. Their paperwork was coming back approved. I've seen their paperwork come back approved. I put my paperwork in. We deployed. I got a Twix deploy denied in a week. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plenty of times I was trying to get out. God wouldn't let me out. See, watch this. Because what he was doing in my life, see, salvation changes your purpose. Your life belongs to God. And all that deployment and all this moving to certain places was, watch this, sister, he was exposing me to things in ministry, and as I would commit to ministries and preachers, they were able to impart things, pieces into me, that when he finally stopped, I had collected all these people, these different impartations from different people, and it was all about him preparing me for ministry. It had nothing to do with military. It was about him moving me. I didn't have no money. How am I going to move from state to state? It's about him moving me around the country for ministry purposes. He was developing me. He changed my purpose. You know why God moving some of y'all around? Because he's changed your purpose, and you have to be with the right people. He's doing this. He moved you. Some of us, you never going back home. Because them demons, I'm telling you, because they waiting on you. Your family been there so long, they know how to, as soon as you put foot on the ground, they're going to crack the code on you because they ain't never lost the combination. They know. And guess what? The minute that we move, it's principalities and demons in many cases are territorial. So they get locked into a location and God move you out of it. And Shazam, the minute that you left that place, your life started changing. And the only way that it continues to follow you is if you bring Egypt, the mindset from Egypt, into the promised land. Say, Lord, renew my mind. You ain't never going back. And staying saved. You ain't going to stay saved. Because they're not going to let you. That's why he had to get me away. That's why he had to get my wife away. If we had been back there, we'd have been divorced 30 years ago. No, we've had these conversations. We already know. See? Ain't you glad that God won't let the devil follow you sometimes? He'll stop him. He won't let him come no further. A lot of your warfare is changing too. You ain't going to deal with the same junk no more. So let's look at this thing. Let's go a little further. Any questions or comments? I'll give you a chance to talk. We got another hour or two. When you're on the narrow road, it's going to require some sacrificing. You're never gonna change without sacrifice. You got to give up something. But you know something, Deacon Strange? It, you know, God is so good. God never tells you to give me that fan. Give me that fan. But he's giving you something else. You got to use your other hand to make more sense. Give me that fan. but he's putting something in that hand. But a lot of time, and this the blessing, this the curse. He taking the curse, trying to give you the blessing, but you don't want it. You want to hold on to the curse. And even though you have times where the curse seemed to be good, the curse create more hell in your life than a little bit, but we be trying to hold on to the curse, and God say, give me the curse, and I'll give you the blessing. Tell somebody, say, give it up. God is trying to get a blessing to you. Say, give it up. God is trying to get a blessing to you. But he not gonna let you keep that and give you this. So it requires some sacrifice. This is 101. This is like Christian faith 101. He not gonna give you that. And the crazy thing is that, do you know what people's main problem come in, Minister Avery, is that they know what God be trying to get to them and they can't get it. They know. Because he showed you the ending from the beginning. So they kind of know what he want to give them, but they won't give it up. All bondages are being broken over those areas in your life. I pray God break them. That he'll take taste and desires out of you. In Jesus' name. We're going to get you blessed around here. I say we're going to get you blessed around here. Give me 5 minutes because y'all testified to like 7:30. 7:20 something. Jesus says, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life. A few there be that find it. That's incredible. That's incredible to me. Now, you would think all these people going to hell. It never said that. He didn't say that. He just says, but straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Too many Christians of too unhappy with their life to say they in God's purpose. They done missed something somewhere. It don't make you turn cheetah flips all the time, you understand? But for the most part, when you in God's purpose, it creates this fulfillment. You feel fulfilled. You feel like, you know, even if it get hard sometime, you just kind of know you in the right place. I'm doing the right thing. I'm with the right person. This is the right job. This is the right business, whatever. Right church. But he say, few are people that find it. Why? The truth of it is, most people ain't really looking for it. They want God to bless what they want, what they got and what they want. And they not really concerned about his will or his purpose or his purpose for them. I mean, it's disheartening to ask people sometimes, hey, what's your purpose? What's your purpose? Right? The purpose is the totality of the thing. They're not asking you where you at right now, where you going, where God taking you to. How does this fit in the overall plan for your life? There are books that God has had me purchase and buy, and there'll be years where I just fiddle and faddle through them, and then there are times where he said, okay, now get into this, and I want you to understand this because I need you to implement this. This is going to trigger that, and that's going to trigger this and that. Say, God, help me understand my purpose. So I've been doing this a long time, Lord. My desire is to please you and do what I'm created to do for you. But you got to be looking for it. Questions or comments? I'm getting ready to close out. Anybody? Nobody? Okay. Nobody. So God ain't trying to keep people out of heaven. He's not trying to keep people out of purpose. And I want to end right here to let somebody know that Jesus will not bend the rules to make sure people get in. He's not going to bend the rules. Because the rules don't really require much of anything from us. What does the rules require? Believe and receive. Well, let me back up. Confess and repent. Believe and receive. That's all he really requires of us. He's not asking for a whole bunch. He ain't asking nobody to sacrifice no babies. He ain't asking nobody for no money. He ain't asking nobody to mutilate your body. He ain't asking us for nothing, bro. All he asking, hey, believe in Jesus and believe in the finished work of the cross. Believe in the resurrection of my son. And then he say, thou shalt be saved. And people are like, that's too easy. Because the devil has trained us to work for everything that we don't even know how to receive a good thing. Say, just receive the salvation. Say, just receive the salvation. It doesn't require any work on your part. The work has been done. Jesus did it all on the cross. He did it when he was beat and he was bled, gave up the ghost, was put in that tomb. But how many know he got up? When he got up, it's all finished. Everything from the standpoint of work on our part was taken care of. And he made it so good that he says, hey, when you receive me, he said your former sins can't even keep you out. It don't matter what you did or what you didn't do. He said none of that will keep you out the kingdom. Just receiving me. He doesn't pay for all that. He'll clean it all up. He'll take it. Give you a brand new thought life. Give you a brand new heart. Anybody change when you really got saved? He'll give you a brand new thought life. Desires, taste change. For things of the spirit rather than things of the world, God has changed some of us greatly and mightily in this place. We showed up one way. We living at a whole nother place in God. We came in thinking one way. We don't even think that way no more. We had ungodly desires when we came in. We don't even have them no more. God has done his part. He's still doing his part. We got to stay hungry for the things of God. Anybody glad you're saved? Come on, let's stand up and get out of here. I'm glad I'm saved. Give him a good praise if you're glad that you're saved. I'm glad. I'm glad about it. We'll finish up next week, or we won't finish. I'm going to spend a little time on salvation. I'm going to try to, I don't know if I will or not, but at some point you should know, people should see the evidence of salvation in your life. You should be able to see the evidence that I am really saved. Do you know what's so great about you really being saved? It don't really matter if other people believe it. You have to know it and believe it. It helps if you can demonstrate it, but that ain't really the requirement. Why do we do the water baptism with the confession if it's not needed? Well, sit down for 1 second. That was a question. Why do we do the water baptism with the confession? You do the water baptism. First of all, I'm going to deal with this more in depth this in a few weeks too, but you get water baptized not to get saved. You get water baptized because you are saved. And Jesus is baptized by John. And it's symbolic, really, of us being immersed in him. Coming up, being immersed in him. We're clean. We're different. We're renewed. Now, think about it from this angle right here. if you have time, you should always meet biblical requirements. Always. So like, if you've been saved for 5 years, you should be baptized. Because you're identifying with the works of Christ. If a person is on their deathbed, they can still be born again, but they didn't get water baptized. Because they ain't got time. But if you have time, you always identify with the works of Christ, not the requirement. He's asking us to do it. He's asking us to do it. So what if a person has time and they don't get baptized? Well, I taught a class on baptism a while back. When you have time to get baptized, you can still be born again, but what that person will, what they won't experience, they will not see the manifestation of spiritual gifts in their life. And I'll teach it. I'll show it. I'll show you in the book of Acts how that actually transpired. If you have time. Okay, so watch this. Most of the time, you know, if really, I ain't saying there's always exceptions to the rule, but you won't typically see people filled with the Spirit that's never been water baptized. Why? Because they are willfully, they will not meet the requirements or do what God is asking them to do. And they got time to do it. If you're not water baptized and you want to be water baptized, and I'll teach that little piece when we get to water baptism to show you what I'm talking about. But you can be born again without being water baptized. But if you have time in the earth, I ain't talking about I just gotta work out my schedule and I gotta take time. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about you got time in the earth. You should get water baptized. Why? Because Jesus got water baptized, and the servant is not greater than the master. Right? What happened to Jesus after he got water baptized? He got. What happened to him? Huh? Heaven did open. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit showed up. But what happened after Jesus got baptized? When you go back and you start looking, the next thing you seen him do was a work of power gift. He turned water into wine. He turned water into wine. And it makes me wonder, even as I'm thinking of here, because I'm seeing, do you know what I'm seeing? This is a great question. But do you know what I'm seeing in the body of Christ, there, Mary? I'm seeing the evaporation of the Spirit in services. Because people ain't filled with the Holy Ghost. And you ask some of them, and I guarantee you'll find places where they've been in church 5, 10, 15 years and never got water baptized. Right? So should you do it? Yes. Is it a requirement to be born again? No. Because if that was the case, then nobody could have a deathbed confession. Nobody could be born again in their final hours because they ain't got time to be baptized. Not Christian, baptized. All right? And I'll talk about it more in depth as we go along. But I hope that makes sense. If it don't, then you can call me or whatever the case may be. But great, 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 great question. Anybody else? I'll try to answer it if you got it. Did I see a hand back there? Nope, let's stand. Let's get out of here. Great question. If you haven't been baptized and you're born again, you see Minister Robeson, Deaconess Avery, or Minister Avery before you get out of here tonight. Don't